time for a Gaza Corner. And tonight is an obvious choice. I assume, and I'm making the assumption, that all of you are aware of the failed coup attempt in Turkey yesterday. It's front page news in virtually all newspapers. So what I thought I would do is give various perspectives, including my own, about this coup. The Turkish Doyan agency quoted the military during the coup as saying that it wanted, quote, to reinstall the constitutional order, democracy, human rights, and freedoms to ensure that the rule of law once again reigns in Turkey. Observers in Turkey fear that the failed coup will give President Erdogan the momentum to push through changes to the Turkish political system. I just mentioned the military wanted to reinstall the constitutional order. Erdogan wants to change it to a presidential system, which would give him sweeping presidential powers, not unlike what Putin did in Russia, where Erdogan would control Turkey like no person has ever controlled it before, post Ataturk, the founder of Turkey. The Turkish government says 265 people were killed during the coup attempt, including 161 civilians and 104 military plotters. At least 1,440 people were injured. Already during the post-coup crackdown, officials say 140 members of the Supreme Court have been served arrest warrants. Turkish journalist Mahir Zenilov reported 188 members of top judicial courts have been served arrest warrants. A staggering 2,745 judges have been fired for alleged links to the coup leaders. And separately, several senior military officials and almost 3,000 soldiers have been arrested. So I will share with you my perspective and two close Turkish friends of mine, and also the opinion of two journalists who wrote, I thought, pretty good articles. It'll be longtime Middle East journalist Robert Fisk, who wrote an analysis in the independent UK newspaper, and Ranj Alidan, Alidin, who is a Middle East scholar at the London School of Economics and Political Science. Both of their stories are at the Tangents homepage and also at the Tangents playlist. And as many of you know, I produced many Tangents Turkey music tours primarily for Tangents listeners in Turkey from 2005 through 2014. I put the music tour on hold after the 2014 tour because of destabilizing developments in Turkey, which sadly have come true. Turkey's recently appointed Prime Minister, Binali Yildirim, described the attempted coup as, quote, a black stain on Turkish democracy, unquote. And to that I say, what democracy? I'll share with you an email I sent to a few close Turkish friends. Quote, I hope all your family and friends are safe. When I first heard of the attempted coup, I was happy. I believe President Erdogan must go. However, I am deeply saddened by the excessive bloodshed and coup failure. Erdogan will likely emerge as a hero and consolidate all power. I read that all the opposition parties opposed the coup, including the pro-Kurdish HDP. They all believe coups are contrary to democratic change, which is, of course, true. However, when a country is not a democracy and is fast becoming a dictatorship, I'm not sure what alternatives for change exist. Erdogan restricts freedom of expression and does not tolerate dissent. The government jails people, including academics, journalists, and politicians who do not agree with Erdogan's Kurdish military policy. If you sympathize with the Kurds, you are labeled a terrorist by the government in Turkey. The government closes down opposition media. Turkey's foreign policy has been a disaster. Those are my thoughts. I am most interested in yours. I look forward to hearing what you think, and one day I will visit you again for sure. Miss you greatly, Dory. Those were sent to a few friends of mine. I'll include and share with you two responses from friends of mine who live in Istanbul. But first, I think you should have a little historical context so you know that Turkey has had a history of coups, first in 1960, and then in 1971, in 1980, and also in 1997. There's a graphic that gives a little detail about each coup at the Tangent's homepage, far right-hand column. Yesterday's coup attempt was by far Turkey's least effective. The military did not control the media and lacked sufficient support from within its ranks and on the streets. This is an email from a Turkish friend who has co-produced many concerts in Istanbul with me. He says, "Hi, Dory, thank you for your concern. I, all my relatives, and close friends are well. However, one of the relatives of my girlfriend was shot down by a soldier's gun and died. None of the military coups brought benefits for us in the past, and it won't bring in the future, in my opinion. Whatever the situation is, the solution must be in democratic way, though it does not work properly. It is still better than the solution with gun. Hope to see you again and have music as before." And then this email from another close friend. This is a musician who lives in Istanbul. "Dear Dory, thank you for your sincere concern. Personally, I have many coup experiences in my life, and I don't agree to be in a dilemma of dictatorship or coup. They are not for democracy, just another kind of dictatorship. Still, we see that this failure helps Erdogan to be one man. Hugs." And that is from my other friend. I will excerpt from Ranj Al-Ildin, who wrote an opinion piece in The Guardian UK. He titled it, "Aftermath of Turkey Coup Attempt Will Be Bloody and Repressive. Mob rule will shape country's politics as attacks on anyone seen to oppose Erdogan and his party continue." And I quote, "It should not have been surprising that a move to oust Erdogan has occurred. In recent years, Erdogan has alienated rivals and exacerbated Turkey's instability for his personal gain. He has exploited ethnic and sectarian tensions, restarted a domestic war with the Kurds, and sought to divide the population to garner greater constitutional powers. Erdogan's dangerous games has brought levels of violence and instability not seen in Turkey for decades. As with many coups around the world, the aftermath will be bloody and repressive. It will be rule of the mob rather than rule of law that will shape Turkish politics and society. Pro-government mobs have brutally attacked anyone they perceive as anti-Erdogan or anti-government. Darker days lie ahead for Turkey." That is an excerpt from a full article that I link to at the Tangent's homepage and also on the playlist tonight. And finally, from Robert Fisk, the longtime journalist based in the Middle East who reports regularly for the Independent UK newspaper. His opinion piece is titled, "Turkey's Coup May Have Failed, but History Shows That It Won't Be Long Before Another One Succeeds." And underneath that it says, "Too late did Erdogan realize that the cost of the role he had chosen for his country, when you can no longer trust your army, there are serious issues that need to be addressed. Quoting Robert Fisk, Erdogan had it coming. The Turkish army was never going to remain compliant while the man who would recreate the Ottoman Empire turned his neighbors into enemies and his country into a mockery of itself. But it would be a grave mistake to assume two things. I'll mention one of them, that the putting down of a military coup is a momentary matter after which the Turkish army will remain obedient to its sultan. Instability is now as contagious as corruption in the region, especially among its potentates and dictators, a class of autocrat of which Erdogan has been a member ever since he changed the constitution for his own benefit and restarted his wicked conflict with the Kurds. Again, this is an excerpt, and I'm going now toward the end of it. He says, Turkey relaunched a war on its Kurds in the southeast of the country. This occurred last summer, where parts of Diyarbakir are now as devastated as large areas of Homs or Aleppo in Syria. Too late did Erdogan realize the cost of the role he had chosen for his country. It's one thing to say sorry to Putin and patch up relations with Benjamin Netanyahu, but when you can no longer trust your army, there are more serious matters to concentrate on. The real question will be the degree to which is, and he puts in parentheses, momentary. Success will embolden Erdogan to undertake more trials, imprison more journalists, close down more newspapers, kill more Kurds, and for that matter, go on denying the 1915 Armenian genocide. All in all, a far more dramatic series of events have taken place in Turkey this weekend than may at first appear. From the frontier of the European Union through Turkey and Syria and Iraq and large parts of Egypt's Sinai Peninsula and on to Libya, there is now a trail of anarchy and failed states. Sir Mark Sykes and Francois George Picot began the Ottoman Empire's dismemberment with help from Arthur Balfour, but it continues to this day. In this grim historical framework, must we view the coup that wasn't in Ankara? Stand by for another one in the months or years to come. That's from Robert Fisk. While the coup was happening on Friday, the call to prayer, which occurs five times a day, was going on all hours. I normally follow Gaza Corner with music, but tonight what I'd like to do is start it with a call to prayer. This is a call to prayer I recorded in Turkey. It's roughly recorded. It's not a great recording, but I want to play it. It's recorded in Istanbul. This is, I think, in 2004. I remember it was like 5:20 in the morning. I'd gone to sleep at 2:00 in the morning, and I didn't set an alarm because I didn't want to get up at 3 in the morning. But it's a great time to record the call to prayer, the very first one that happens at sunrise, because there's very little noise outside. But by some miracle, I woke up like a minute before this call to prayer, and I put on this recorder. So this is a call to prayer in Istanbul. This was recorded outside my hotel window in Istanbul, Turkey, on April 25th, 2004, about 5:20 in the morning. And the call to prayer is coming from the Blue Mosque. And I'm kind of situated between, when I was recording this, between the Blue Mosque and Hagia Sophia. And as I mentioned, during the coup, the call to prayer apparently was heard all the time. I'd like to play some music from Turkey. By a strange coincidence, it's the birthday today of Yıldız Tilbe. Yıldız Tilbe, yeah, 50 years old. She's a Turkish pop singer who, you'll hear in a moment, put out a very different album quite a few years ago now. What I'd like to do is play a little bit of taste of what it's like to kind of walk in Istanbul and just go into a little shop, music shop, and talk to someone, get a feel for what it's like in Istanbul. And by absolute coincidence, we're talking about Yıldız Tilbe, who happens to be turning 50 today. So this is about Yıldız Tilbe. Then we'll play some music by her right here on Gaza Corner. Let me make sure I have this queued up correctly. I think I will now have it queued up. Okay, this is a little taste of Istanbul street life.
One of the things about walking in Istanbul is like a Galata Bridge, where there are millions of shops and street peddlers and all sorts of little tiny food stalls and tons of incredible music coming out of cassettes. Like right now, here's one right now. Who's playing?
The singer's name is Yıldız Tilbe.
This singer. How come everyone plays her? She's the most popular.
Very popular.
You like her too?
Yeah, of course. Because this song's very, very old Anatolian songs. And she says pop music. But now she says very, very old Anatolian music songs. Understand?
Yes, So she's a pop star, but now she's singing traditional songs.
Yeah.
Very good, very good. I have this album.
Really?
I own it, yes. I got it yesterday. Yes, I like it. I like it. What's your name?
Adi,
thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right.
What's your name?
Dory, from San Francisco.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Take care.
Ölen olayım. boşa gider de gözyaşların ağlama. Sunam, sunam, kölen olayım. Yok olur belliğim çürürse beden. Yok olur belliğim çürürse beden. Sunam, sunam, dağlar duman ama. Boşa gider de gözyaşların ağlama. Sunam, sunam, kölen olayım. Boşa gider de gözyaşların ağlama. Sunam, sunam, kölen olayım.
Kölen olayım.